Stay tuned now for Edward R. Murrow with the News, presented by HAMS. H-A-M-M-S. HAMS. Yes, HAMS, America's most refreshing beer, brings you America's favorite newscaster, Edward R. Murrow. Looks refreshing. Tastes refreshing. Is refreshing. HAMS, America's most refreshing beer, from the land of the sky blue waters. Have a HAMS when you want real refreshment. Ask for HAMS wherever fine beer is sold. It's America's most refreshing beer. HAMS. And now, Edward R. Murrow.
This is the news. Food prices and the cost of living are still going up. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says that the cost of living reached a new all-time high in the middle of December. And the department estimates that during the last 2 weeks of last year, food prices reached a new all-time high. As of December 15th, the cost of living was 5% higher than it was before the Korean War started. It was 6.5% over a year ago. And if you can remember back to 1939, 81% higher than it was then. For all of 1950, house furnishings showed the biggest increase, 10.5% for the year. Food prices went up a little over 9%. The government today just about completed all steps to announce a wage and price freeze. It's expected tomorrow. The best information in Washington is that prices will be rolled back and frozen at the January 2nd level. Wages will be frozen at 10% above what they were in January of 1950. The government has rolled back the price of hides and calf skins that give us shoe leather. This is expected to stabilize retail shoe prices. The government is also considering complete controls over steel, copper, and aluminum. The Agriculture Department says the farmer is now getting about 51 cents out of every dollar the consumer spends for food. That's 5 cents more than he got before the war. This study shows that the farmer's increase has been greater than that for the food processors and distributors. The Federal Reserve Bank reports that department store sales last week were 31% over what they were a year ago. And board member Mariner Eccles told Congress today he favors a 44-hour week with straight pay for the extra 4 hours, plus a general wage freeze and limited price controls to beat inflation. The president told reporters today he personally believes in calling Red China an aggressor. This is another attempt to let the United Nations know, as the president put it, that he, the Congress, and the people feel Red China is the aggressor. At the United Nations today, the British urged a cautious approach to the American demand, made it clear they want further negotiations before calling China aggressor. But another Commonwealth nation, New Zealand, joined Australia in urging approval of the American resolution. Sir Benigal Rao of India wants to consider an Arab-Asian plan for a seven-nation conference with the Chinese before he considers the American proposal. And Sir Benigal, noting recent dispatches from the battlefronts of Korea, told his colleagues the lull in the fighting may not be without significance, suggested this is the time to talk with the Chinese. This same suggestion that the Chinese may be holding back their troops comes from some reporters in Tokyo. Today again, our patrols went searching for the enemy, found small groups, but no sign of where the major portion of the communist forces are. The speculation from Korea and Tokyo runs this way. Maybe the enemy has withdrawn for political reasons, to wait until the UN does something. Maybe he's pulled back his forces for military reasons, to trap us, or to get ready for a big attack. Or maybe our air attacks have forced him to withdraw for regrouping. In any event, American warships today shelled the port of Incheon. And General MacArthur, celebrating his 71st birthday, told a reporter, "We're going to give the Chinese a bloody nose somewhere in South Korea. They will never drive me into the sea." Assistant Secretary of Defense Rosenberg said today that the armed forces will lower the physical and mental requirements for draftees in the 19 through 25 age group. They hope to pick up another 150,000 soldiers from among the 800,000 classified as 4F. a House committee has approved another $337 million for the Air Force to expand 13 training bases in this country, 7 of them in Texas. General Eisenhower flew from Paris to Iceland today on his way home. Iceland has no army, navy, or air force, but is a valuable fleet and air base for whoever holds its friendship. Much of Europe today is suffering from an influenza epidemic, which appears to be reaching its peak in Britain, Poland, Spain, and Czechoslovakia. There has been a drop in the number of cases in Belgium, Denmark, Germany, and Sweden. Here in New York today, William Remington, under cross-examination at his communist perjury trial, pounded the witness box and told the government prosecutor he always told the truth, to the best of his knowledge. United States Attorney Saypool was attempting to show discrepancies between the former Commerce Department worker's testimony now and his previous statements under oath. The president has named his Commission on Internal Security and Individual Rights. It will be headed by Fleet Admiral Chester Nimitz. The other members named today will be Miss Anna Lord Strauss, former president of the League of Women Voters, Reverend Carl Morgan Block, Episcopal Bishop of California, John Danner, former Republican senator from Connecticut, Harvey Firestone, Jr. of Akron, William E. Leahy, a lawyer of Washington, D.C., Charles H. Silver, vice president of the American Woolen Company, Reverend Emmett M. Walsh, coadjutor bishop of Youngstown, Ohio, and Russell C. Leffingwell, one-time assistant secretary of the Treasury and former partner of the banking house of J.P. Morgan. This commission is to undertake one of the most important and difficult tasks confronting the Republic. Mr. Truman spelt it out when he said, "We must guard our freedom well, guard it from armed assault, guard it from subversive infiltration, guard it from internal suppression and the deadly imposition of conformity." In the past, various congressional committees, the House on American Activities Committee, the so-called Tidings Committee that investigated Senator McCarthy's charges, have attempted to deal with this area of dispute. Their findings and their manner of conducting hearings seldom left the citizen with any clear idea of the validity of the charges made, and often with the belief that the search was for headlines rather than evidence. The job of this new commission, under Admiral Nimitz, will be to study our provisions for internal security and for the protection of the individual rights of the citizen. It is a nonpartisan commission. Republican Senator Ferguson of Michigan thinks the president's action is extremely unfortunate, that he is trying to prevent congressional action on these vital matters, that he's just trying to confuse the whole issue because he fears congressional action. Republican Senators Hickenlooper of Iowa and Kemp of Missouri joined in the criticism. Mr. Truman says the new commission will be given access to confidential files of federal employees, and he says that this commission was not set up to investigate congressional investigating committees. This new commission will, of course, have to be judged on the basis of its performance and methods. But judging by the performance and methods of congressional committees in this area, it can scarcely do a worse job than they have done. President Truman read a prepared statement to reporters today, saying he believes in calling an aggressor an aggressor. The question of what can and should be done about the aggression in Korea, of course, must be discussed with all other friendly nations. Obviously, said Mr. Truman, this is no time for rash or unwise action. This is a time for clear thinking and firmness. This is a sentiment that has been expressed before in Washington. In this reporter's opinion, there has been considerable time for clear thinking. It is just about 2 months since General MacArthur, announcing the arrival of massive Chinese formations in Korea, said, "The United Nations forces now face a totally new war." Generally, a new war involves a new policy and some change in grand strategy. If there has been any change in policy or grand strategy, it has escaped our notice. The mere labeling of China as an aggressor, even if we're able to bring that off at the UN, isn't a policy, it's a gesture. Meanwhile, we have the testimony of General Marshall that we require replacements at the rate of 15,000 a month for Korea. It is important to understand that this does not mean reinforcements. It means 15,000 bodies to replace those who have, in one way or another, been consumed by the fires of war. We have, at the same time, increasing evidence in public opinion surveys, and in the mail to congressmen, that the American public believes we should get out of Korea. It is also clear beyond doubt that the majority of the free world will not participate in effective steps to repulse Chinese aggression in Korea. I have seen this whole situation nowhere better put than by Walter Lippmann in his column of today, where he says, "Our people feel that it is intolerable that American soldiers should be suffering in a war which can no longer be won, which can no longer achieve the aims for which it was begun, yet a war which was undertaken not for a national purpose, but for a principle. They feel," continues Mr. Lippmann, "naturally and rightly, that there is something decisive that should be done about it all. What the decisive something is, they do not know. They cannot be expected to know. They have a right to expect their government to tell them what it is. Their government tells them nothing. Day after day, the casualties continue, and the young men are called up to replace them." That's the end of the quotation from Walter Lippmann's column of today. 2 months ago, we were confronted with what General MacArthur called a wholly new war. The record does not show that we have expounded or adopted new strategy or new policies. Mr. Truman says today, "Obviously, this is no time for rash or unwise action. This is a time for clear thinking and firmness." Admirable sentiments, with which most of us would undoubtedly agree. But 2 months of firmness and clear thinking ought to produce, perhaps not a solution, but at least a new policy to meet a new situation. We cannot fight today's wars with tomorrow's weapons, and we cannot pursue in a new war the old policies. This is Ed Murrow. I'll be back in a moment with the word for today.
Someone is always talking about being the perfect host, but one of these days, you're going to be the perfect guest. If you haven't yet tasted Ham's beer, sooner or later, someone is going to serve you a sparkling glass of America's most refreshing beer. You'll make a hit with your host by praising him to the skies, for you will have discovered a beer refreshing as the land it comes from, the land of the sky blue waters. Here, Ham's beer is brewed to capture for you all the crisp refreshment of this enchanted land. It's brewed with unhurried skill, with the finest ingredients known to the brewing art, with smoothness aged in. But tonight, have a Ham's and learn for yourself. It's the most refreshing beer you ever tasted. Ask for Ham's wherever fine beer is sold. Tonight, for the safety of your child, for your own peace of mind, send your dimes and dollars to your local March of Dimes headquarters. Join the March of Dimes. And now, Ed, the word for today.
It seems to me barely possible that these sentences may have some relation to the day's news. Speak out in acts. The time for words has passed, and deeds alone suffice. He who gives fair words feeds you with an empty spoon. Authority without wisdom is like a heavy axe without an edge, fitter to bruise than polish. Those three sentences from Whittier, H.G. Bone, and Ann Bradstreet. Good night and good luck.
Edward R. Murrow and the news is brought to you by Ham's, America's most refreshing beer. Brewed by the Ham Brewing Company of St. Paul, Minnesota. Looks refreshing. Tastes refreshing. Is refreshing. Ham's, brewed in the land of the sky blue waters. For real refreshment, have a Ham's, America's most refreshing beer. Ham's. Listen tomorrow. Larry Alexander speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.